Hello, hello, hello. This is the Deborah Elike Radio Show. I'm Alondis, and I am here talking about Mint. This is a show that I've tried to do a couple of times. I have been ill, had laryngitis, and hopefully I won't cough through this because I'm still getting rid of this flu, but I'm feeling much better now. And I want to talk about Lent. And for those of us who are not familiar with the term, I'll just give a little short version of what Lent is. I was raised Catholic. A lot of us are familiar with it. Catholics are the ones who celebrate Lent, and we're right in the Lenten season. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, and it ends with Easter Sunday. Ash Wednesday is when we are reminded as Catholics, and I say we because I was brought up as one, a Catholic as a child, and we're reminded that we came from dust and we will return to dust when we are finished with this life. That's the belief that Catholics have. And Easter Sunday is when Catholics and Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Christian world. So we're going to talk about Lent in the context of broadening it out. I want to broaden it out some. A lot, and make it applicable, because this is what I did. When I left the Catholic Church as an adult, I kept some of the spiritual disciplines that served me quite well as I was growing up, and let go of a lot of the dogma that came with the discipline. So I was able to ferret out the dogma from the discipline and make it applicable to a spiritual movement toward health. What I would like to do is talk about how giving up, which is what Lent is, you are encouraged to give something up that means something to you, something that you will miss, or you know, some habit or something like that, you know. I don't know, you might have heard people say, well, I'm giving up television, or I'm giving up using the internet or Facebook or something like that for Lent. As a kid, my friends and I used to give up things like candy or dessert. I remember one time as a kid growing up, my whole family gave up television. We used to watch television together some evenings, Sunday night especially. And we gave that up for Lent one year. And it opened up doors to do something different. So that's where I want to go. Giving up, refraining from using something or taking something, drinking it or eating it or doing something, does several things. It makes you aware of how important that particular thing or action is in your life at that moment when you refrain from doing it or using it, when you give it up, in other words. It makes you think about, if you do it in the way that I've learned and taught myself how to do, if you do it in that way, it makes you think about why. Why was this so important? Why is it so difficult? Why does it take such a big chunk out of my life? And why do I spend so much time and energy toward getting it or using it or having it or wanting it or eating it? So that tells you something about yourself. You can't help but learn something about yourself in that type of context. Now, if you just give up something because you're supposed to do it and you follow the dogmatic route, then of course you're not going to learn anything about yourself because there's no self-reflection. It's all outside. And what I want us to do and what I do is focus on you. Focus on yourself. And that from that point of strength, because you can only get stronger when you focus on yourself, weaknesses and good and bad about who you are, you will be stronger. You will be stronger. And that's what started me down this lifelong process. I realized that there's something useful in most of the things that we do. And use that usefulness, use that thing, whatever it is, to learn about who you are and get a deeper knowledge and a healthier spiritual life and have that power that is yours to claim. Because without the knowledge and without that power that comes with that self-knowledge and this healthier way of living, you can't find love. You can't find happiness. You won't find what you're looking for. And it even affects your physical health. And I'm not talking about some kind of miraculous healing from a disease that needs to be treated. I'm talking about your general, everyday well-being, physical well-being. It affects how you are physically, because part of what happens is you realize that there are things that you're doing just because you did them. And there are ways of behaving. You're doing that just because that's the way you are. And that's the way you've always been. And that's what you were taught. And that's what you believe. But you don't really think about it. I was right there, too. I was right there. There were things that I did and people that I was around. And I didn't question why. Why am I giving my power away, one? And why am I not examining the relationships that I'm in, what they're doing, how I'm behaving to remain in that relationship or in those relationships, how I am having to behave. So part of what can happen with the practice of refraining from things, from people, from different types of food or drinks, is you can learn who you are. It's amazing. I found it amazing. You learn who you are. And if you don't really like that, if there are parts about you that you learn that you don't like, then that's where you can start. That's where you can begin to have the life that you were meant to have, the life that is yours, the relationships that are already yours. They're just waiting for you to claim them. And you claim them by claiming yourself. And you claim yourself by knowing who you are right now, with all the flaws, with all the glory, and working from that. And keeping the question in your mind, this is what giving up and refraining from something over an extended period of time, 6 or 8 weeks, with giving that up and asking the question, why was it important? Why is it important? Why was it important? And why am I giving it up? What am I learning about myself as I go through this process? Is it more difficult than I thought it would be? Is it easier than I thought it would be to refrain from whatever it is? Sometimes you can refrain from something like celibacy. You can refrain from having sex with another person and be celibate and make that something, making love with another person something different in your life, because that's what it happens. You develop a different relationship with whatever it is you refrain from, because it has to change, because you're changing yourself in the process of staying away from it and examining why it is important and examining how you are being changed. I'll give you an example. As an adult, I drink beer, and I still do drink beer, but there was a time when I was using beer as a crutch. I was in a bad situation. I was surrounded by negativity. A lot of it was mine, and I drew what I had in me to me. And the escape for me was alcohol, because that's why I drank the beer. It was because it had alcohol in it. One year I gave that up for Lent. I have been doing this all along. And in that process, I developed a different relationship with alcohol, beer specifically, but alcohol in general. And that relationship is still today, and it has made me a stronger person. And I learned something about myself when I refrained from drinking beer for Lent that particular year. And what I learned was alcohol was becoming far too important in my life. Far too important. It was becoming something that was taking me down a road that was damaging me spiritually and physically and mentally, for that matter. I was damaging myself. In fact, I think if I hadn't had this spiritual discipline, I would have done more damage to myself than anyone could have done to me at that time, because I was going down, hell-bent for leather, down a road where I would have been totally off kilter, because alcohol was becoming more and more and more important in my life, and more and more and more part of a distraction. And a lot of times when we're distracting ourselves, or all the time I would say, we're distracting ourselves from work that we need to do inside, internally. And that's what I was doing. I was distracting myself from what needed to be done internally in me. So it's important. I think it's very important. I wouldn't be spending this time in my life talking about it. I wouldn't be taking this time that I'll never get back talking about it and sharing what I know with you. It's important to look very honestly at yourself. And I concentrate on you and me and you doing it yourself, because there are too many opportunities and too many places where we're being told who we are, who we should be, what we should believe, how we should be dressed, how we should comb our hair. So I say, do this for yourself. Do this for yourself. Look at yourself. Don't take anybody else into consideration, what anyone else thinks about you or what anyone else says about you. What do you see when you look in the mirror and look at yourself consciously and constructively that way, without trying to gloss over anything, because that's where you want to start. That's where you want to be. You want to be where you say, you know what? Yeah, I drink way too much. That's what happened when you. Yeah, I'm drinking way too much, and I'm gonna see what happens when I give this up. Right? That's what you want to be able to do. That is the kind of thing you want to do, and that is not easy. It is very difficult to do, but you can do it, and you are able to do it, and you are called. You're called by God to do it. That's what it means to be in relationship with yourself and with God. You are looking and being who you are in the moment with the understanding that you can be better, and you will. And you are able to use the tools that are there. Part of what happens with us is we get bogged down in the dogma. And what I mean by dogma, I mean that, well, I'll give you an example, a current example. I just saw today, actually. It was very sad, but it's a very good example of what I'm talking about as far as dogma goes. There's a video that's being circulated. I think it's on YouTube, that where this small, teeny tiny church, they say they have like 25 members. It's probably like a storefront church, and the pastor of the church is on video, or maybe one of her deacons or something, I don't know, on video trying to exorcise, I think what they call a homosexual demon out of this person. It's really sad. I don't encourage you to watch it. I only bring it up because that is an example of someone who's just following dogma. They're following something that, first of all, doesn't make any sense. But secondly, well, actually, I got three things. Secondly, it's based on judgment, judging another person just on who they are, not who they hurt, but who they are. And third, it's just wrong. It's just plain wrong, and shows a form of ignorance. I don't want you to go watch it. I'm just bringing it up because that is what following dogma blindly leads to. It leads to ignorance. It leads the person to separate his or herself from herself, and it certainly doesn't lead to being in a relationship with God. You're in a relationship with wherever the dogma is originating, whether it's a church or a group of people or a person, whatever it is. You're in relationship with that, not with God, because your relationship with God is individual. It's an individual. It's based on who you are. So when you refrain, you don't have to call it anything religious. You don't have to call it Lent. I call it Lent because that's part of my background, and it makes it easy for me. And you don't have to do it at a particular time. You can do it anytime during the year or your life. You don't have to wait for a particular time to do it. This is a process. You can set aside a length of time, like say 6 weeks, 8 weeks, somewhere in that time frame. That's where I would start. And just think about, before you do it, think about what's taking a lot of my energy? What do I spend a lot of time trying to obtain and keep or get to? Or when I'm like really stressed, what do I think about doing or having? Or the other part of that is, what's separating me from other people and myself? first ask, what's separating from me? Me from me. What am I distracting myself from who I am with? Is it another person? Is it the television? It could be something as simple as that, where you sit down and just zone out and watch television. And you're not engaged with anyone else in particular. In fact, it's separating you from people because you're watching this all the time. Music, it could be the same thing. I see a lot of people with their ear things in. When I go to a gym, I purposely don't use the ears, music in my ears, because I want to have the experience of being in the gym and working out in the gym, not going to and just kind of above everything. Now, I don't go in and socialize either. If you know me and you see me, I might not even speak because I'm very focused. But I'm also in the environment. I don't separate myself out from it. So what is separating you from you? Maybe that's something you need to think about refraining from. And while you're doing it, once you decide what you're going to refrain from, what you're going to give up, while you're doing it, take the time. I very much encourage people to meditate. Take the time to check in with yourself and find out what's going on with yourself. Find out how you're feeling and what you're thinking. Keep a journal of your dreams, a journal of how you're feeling while you're doing this. And think about writing down and exploring how you are in the beginning with what kind of relationship you think you have with whatever it is you're giving up, and then toward the middle, see if that relationship is changing. And when you come to the end, is that relationship different? Is it any different? For instance, when I gave up drinking beer, alcohol, what happened at the end when I was done with the Lent? I didn't want any. In other words, I didn't go running out and buying the first beer I found. I just didn't want it at that time. It had changed. I was free of having to have that in my life. That's a good way of looking at it. If there's something that you have to have in your life, examine why you have to have it. Look at why you think you have to have it. And if it's not feeling good, maybe that would be an example of something that you could refrain from and learn about yourself in the process, because that's why you're doing it. You're not trying to stop. You're not trying to negate whatever it is. You're not trying to obliterate it. There are people who can't tolerate having anything other than what they believe in their world. They can't tolerate that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about becoming free of the need. It's there. It's still there, whatever it is. But it's not something that you have to have. That's part of one of the things that, and I'm not Buddhist or anything like that, but I do know that one of the things that they believe is to free themselves of want or needing something. And I'm not using their terminology, I'm sure, but it's basically the same thing. You don't want, you're neutral about it, if that's a different way of putting it. So that's where you want to be, and you're doing it, like I said, to learn about yourself. And as you learn about yourself, trust me, you will be stronger. You will be stronger, and it will be the kind of strength that no one can take away from you. And it's not based on any one person or group in this world. It's the kind of strength that comes from God, comes from the universe, and it's yours. It's yours. All you have to do is the work to claim it. And it'll give you the power that is yours. Not power over anyone, not power over yourself, just a very strong power that is you. The power of you. That's what we're talking about. And that's all I got today. And I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're emailing me. I do appreciate the emails. And until next time, we will keep going.